I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to That Sun Up Podcast. Once again, I'm Josh Ovenoff. As always, welcome by the one and only man of the hour, too sweet to be sour, future Jiu-Jitsu world champion, Angel Ortega. We got a lot of stuff to talk about this week, boys. It is UFC 299 fight week. It's a little frightening. Anthony Joshua been going down on Friday. Real quickly, we're brought to you by two fantastic sponsors of the show, Rogue Energy and Elixir. Rogue Energy, keep me fueled up no matter where I'm at, whether I'm at the gym or I'm working at home. They get me to the finish line. They can help you get there as well with code SOUNDOFF at checkout for 10% off all of their fantastic products. However, whenever I want to chill out, whenever I want to calm down, you know, I go ahead and take some Elixir with their incredible Delta A products, which you can also get for 10% off with code SOUNDOFF at checkout. All caps, once again, code SOUNDOFF for both Rogue Energy and Elixir.com. As I mentioned, it is UFC 299 fight week. Before we break into that, though, we do have UFC Vegas 87. It was a fight card. It did happen at the UFC Apex in Las Vegas, Nevada. In the main event, he was the rising heavyweight Shamil Gaziev trying to break into the rankings. In the end, he ends up suffering a fourth round stoppage loss before the fifth. His team ended up throwing in the towel. Mark Goddard waved it off. Yarzinho Rozenstruik getting the nod, man. Two wins in his last three. What do you make about that win for Biggie Boy?
I mean, a good one, right? Trying to keep holding his spot down. I mean, we both did not think this would happen, so proving us wrong, which is, you know, it's a good thing, right? You want guys to prove you wrong, right? This is what this sport's about, I think, for the most part, right? Because it's a one-on-one sport. It's opposition. You know, people are going to pick one or the other, and, you know, one guy has to show up and the other can get the other one out of there. Mm-hmm. I will say, early on, I think Shamil, like, looked good in that first round, but after that, it seemed like it was all downhill. Luckily, Yarzinho Rozenstruik is capable of landing bombs. Wasn't able to get him out of there, I guess, in the sense of knocking him out, but was able to get the stoppage because, what was it? He said he couldn't see out of his eye? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I believe so.
It wasn't like any eye poke situation. It had swollen up too much, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that was it. And Mark Goddard decided to wave it off, man. On the cards, Rozenstruik was up 2 of the 3. So, I mean, it was – and honestly, he was – Gaziev had some early success, but over the course of the fight, he was kind of getting worked anyway. So, yeah, I mean, I don't have a big issue with it. Yeah, man. I mean, it was a fight that happened. Good for Rozenstruik. I saw afterwards they had a little bit of a respectful, you know, exchange on Twitter where they wished each other good luck. And Rozenstruik was like, oh, you know, imagine what it was like for me to lose my undefeated 10-0 record the way that I did, which I was like, you know, that's a good point, man. Like, it's just... if you guys forget who Rozenstruik lost his undefeated record to, it's whenever he fought Francis Ngannou and just got worked in 20 seconds. So,
by the way, the balls to call out Francis at that time, though, we got to commend him for that. Like,
well, I mean, shit, he was riding high after, you know, flying punch knockout, fucking of you know, Overeem. That fight before, he just busted his lip open. Yeah, you know? Just
obliterated Overeem. One of the nastiest injuries in, I guess, MMA history. Let's be honest.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Anyways, man, I mean, Rozenstruik didn't call anybody out. He said that he'll just be around. He said he's going to be ready for, I believe, May or June. So we'll see what's next for him. What are your thoughts on what could be next for Gaziev?
I mean, just rebuilding, you know, try to take out another, you know, try to fight some of these unranked heavyweights unless an opportunity comes up with a ranked heavyweight. I'm sure he's probably take it. Just go back in the lab, get better. I mean, that's what else can you do, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, first professional loss, I'm sure it's hard. But, I mean, it's, you know, it's very unlikely that in your professional MMA career you will end undefeated. I mean, you know, you could probably name all the ones that have and been successful on your hand, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's got room to grow, man. He's got room to improve, like you said, and, We'll see what's next for him, man. Admittedly, way more interested in that co-main event, and I said that last week. Vitor Petrino keeping it rolling, man. I mean, picks up a unanimous decision win, 30-27, 30-27, 29-28 were the cards. Improves to 11-0. And afterwards, Tyson Pedro, for all the Pedrophiles out there, ends up retiring. And said that, you know, he made so little money tonight due to taxes and his actual paycheck because he have to go rob somebody out in the parking lot. What did you make of that fight?
Dude, this threw me for a fucking loop. Because when he said he was retiring, I was like, dang. He was already going into this probably thinking that he was going to retire. So that already wasn't a good sign. And I probably, if I knew there was any sort of kind of like maybe potential that could have happened, I probably would have gone the Petrino route. I just thought that somehow Tyson Pritchard was to come out and still hold his spot. But Petrino's good, man. Like, I talked about it. I gave him an award last year as UFC newcomer. And I think it was either my newcomer or rising star award, whatever which one of the two I gave.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for it. He's still trucking along. Like I said, he's very young. There's still a lot to work on. I don't think he's ready for the ranked opponent yet. I think he'd definitely have a lot of trouble with a lot of those guys at this time. But that's perfectly fine because he's 26 years old. There's no need to rush this kind of talent. And especially, you know, we need to build up stars in this sport. We need personalities. And I mean, I don't know if he's going to turn into that, but you know, when you're showing this much potential, why would you want to, you know, move a little too quick?
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's gonna be interesting to see what Vitor Petrino does moving forward, man. I mean, he's an interesting guy. Like we said, 11-0, relatively young, but only 26, and a light heavyweight, bro. I mean, he's got a bright future in front of him. I mean, this wasn't as destructive of a win as maybe you wanted to see, but still, it was a nice one. On the opposite side, Tyson Pedro, hell of a career, man. I mean, was it what we wanted whenever he debuted back in, I think, 2017? He beat up Khalil Roundtree and then knocked out Paul Craig back-to-back. I mean, no, he didn't have the career that we exactly wanted. But at the same time, though, I mean, he dealt with a lot of injuries. He had a lot of great moments. And the fact that he missed 4 years of his career and was able to come back and put together somewhat of a run, you know, knocking out a bunch of guys and, you know, obviously this loss to Petrino kind of ended that run, but, you know, still a solid career for him, man. Still a solid career. You'll love to see it. That's all I got to say, man. Good for him, and hopefully he can, you know, get an actual job that'll pay him well. I know he was joking about it, so hopefully he has some stuff set up for after fighting. In regards to the rest of this UC Vegas 87 card, I think I know what fight you want to go ahead and talk about, but what do you most want to talk about, man?
I mean, we got to talk about, I mean, probably the most relevant fighter on this card, Josh. Umar Nurmagomedov, scared in the first round, you know, or a scare for us in the first round. Look, I told you last week, I was like, look, I don't know if Osmat is it Osmat? Osmat? I'm not sure how to pronounce it.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
I know they said it on the broadcast, but look, right off the bat, tags. I don't know if you want to say tag or drop, and there's a whole little debate there on that too. Umar Nurmagomedov, instantly drops into a takedown, into a single leg to take for a takedown, and had to kind of eke one out there, man. It was you saw him go to the wrestling. You talked about how. What was it? Did he say he was injured or just had a lot of stuff? Like, it was just a hard camp and he felt like he could do better. He was he wasn't even at 100%. Which, look, that may or may not be true. I don't know, but, or Beza Akhmat. There it is. That's what it is. Look, he controlled the fight. You know, he did what he had to do. He didn't take any risk after that moment he had in the fight and he kept it under control. And, his opponent tried to do his best to get out from bottom. You could see he was putting in some effort, but you could see there's definitely, there's some levels there, you know, and Umar has, it was a level above in that department.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, you got to give that kid a lot of credit. I mean, came out, dropped him early, and even then, like, it's true that, like, he was on the bottom, and he wasn't really getting a whole lot done, but, I mean, Umar wasn't really moving a whole lot of positions either. He wasn't getting a whole lot done either. So, I mean, it was an okay performance. I thought it was crazy that they moved him up like four spots after that win.
Wait, they did?
Yeah. He's inside the top 10 now.
That is mental illness at its finest right there, Josh.
Yeah, I mean, normally, look, I don't want to be too mean, you know, but look, I think it's abundantly clear what they're trying to do here, and like sometimes they like will push guys in a way to where it's like, oh, okay, like it makes sense. This is like an, you know how like Islam Makhachev didn't he beat like one ranked guy before he got a title shot? This mm-hmm. is like same vibes, you know what I mean? Like Umar's gonna end up having to fight like one ranked dude before he ends up getting a title shot, you know what I mean? He's officially, let me see if I can see how many spots he actually moved up. He moved up 3 spots. He's now in front of Jonathan Martinez and he's ranked number 10. He's right behind Rob Font. That's weird. Jonathan Martinez had to beat like 3 ranked guys in order to actually get ranked, so it's kind of
right. Kind of
Yeah. Yeah, that very
is, that's wild. I mean that is actually insane. I don't even know what to say to that.
Yeah. Yeah, very shitty.
But you know what? That's the UFC for you.
Yeah. But speaking of guys who are gonna be moving up, man, you know, this was a night to where, you know, and let's be clear here, Muhammad Makhachev is the real deal. He's gonna get a title shot, I think. His next fight might be for a title. But man, hey, let's give some props for Astro Boy Steve Ercek, bro. I mean, let's fucking go.
Excellent flyweight performance, man.
I mean, honest, dude. Highlight reel. It does not get better than that.
But you know the worst part though, Josh? It wasn't even the highlight finish of the night because Vinicius Oliveira with the flying knee, KO of the year so far. Taking out Bernardo Sapage, who came in on shortness, but he was giving him a hell of a fight. Credit to him. I gotta give him some recognition there. Dude, holy shit. Did you get to see that live? I need to know that right now.
Dude, I did get to see that live.
I was fucking killed after that. Dude, it looked like he died. You're not even wrong. It looked like the man died. I was worried. I was in the comfort of my own home and I was worried.
Yeah. Dude, honestly, it's rare to see a knockout like that, man. I mean, just right on the button. He didn't do anything wrong, man, as far as I'm concerned. Like he's defending it. You know what I mean? Because you're not going to – like, that's a 1 in 100. You're not going to get hit more clean than what happened right there, like, honestly. So, yeah, man. I mean, honestly, good for them. Honestly, I had no issue with Oliveira getting the knockout of the night. Although I guess, I mean, they both got performance of the night bonuses, but still, you know what I mean? Obviously, Oliveira is the one that was getting replayed more. But yeah,
hey,
man,
they both got their flowers, man.
Yeah. Speaking of flyweight, obviously this was a big night for the flyweights. Do you think Muhammad Makhachev is going to end up being next?
Look, with the whole Rivera situation, and look, Makhachev got his moment. It would have been nice if we got a stamp on it, but he did tell us that he had staff, and we found that out afterwards. So definitely. Did affect him. Great Alex Perez, right? Game as fuck, but we already knew that about him. You know, I was a little worried with that fight, but I did feel like something was off in Makhachev, and then afterwards when he did tell us that, I was like, okay, that makes a little bit more sense. It is possible that he does fight Pantoja in Brazil. I don't know if they'll necessarily do it, but at the same time, what options do you have? I think, you know, if you're a responsible human being, and look, as much as we know how exciting and fun Brandon Royval can be, you cannot possibly, in your right mind, respectfully to the rest of the division, give Brandon Royval that fight again.
Mm. Yeah, dude. Yeah, I mean, it's want to see Brandon Royval.
Even if Moreno won, and if Moreno won, like we were okay with Moreno doing it, but to the extent you could still have an issue with it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, it's I like Brandon Royval. I don't want to get that title shot, man. And honestly, I think here's what I think is going to happen. I have no proof of this. This is entirely speculation. I'll go ahead and be honest with you guys. Like, there are sometimes, you know, old Joshy Poo over here. Sometimes he has some inside information. I'm not gonna lie to you. There are some times where like, oh, you know, I know a bunch of stuff going on right now. I can't talk about it. I have no insider information on this subject specifically. If I had to guess, they're probably hoping to get Koji Horiguchi over here, and if they can't get Horiguchi, they're probably going to go with Muhammad Makhachev.
Right, you just threw me with a fucking curveball on that one. What?
Yeah, well, I mean, dude, I'm putting two and two together. I mean, Koji Horiguchi, he said he wanted to leave Ryzen after winning in December. And I believe Saki Ibarra said that they were going to try and work on making it happen for him because of, you know, what he's done for their company and, you know, got a lot of support for him. And plus they have no issue with co-promotion anyway. And then we saw Saki Ibarra meeting with Dana, and we haven't heard anything since then, but that's just my theory. That's just my theory. I'm theory crafting a lot here, but that's what I got a feeling about.
You know, and I can't, you know, say that's not going to happen, right? Because I don't know that for a fact, but I mean, it's certainly possible, right?
Like, and then if Mikhaev says no, they're going to bring in Brandon Royval, and then if Royval says no, then we get Astro Boy Steve Erceg fighting for the UFC title. I mean,
I think another option we haven't really talked about that I could potentially throw out there is also Manel Cape. Yeah. You know, obviously he's since he's going to be in Brazil, you know, Manel Cape is from Portugal. You know, Portuguese speaking, so they could definitely do some stuff. I think potentially, like, you know, benefit with, you know, be able to communicate with the Brazilian media.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's an exciting fight. It's a new face. They could, you know, they could get away with that one. You know, is he necessarily 100% deserving of it? I mean, I don't know, but at the same time, with the options you have, what do you have left, you know? If anything, they really got to get these guys going. Like we're saying, they got to get guys like Steve Versick going in this division. They got to see if they can get a Mirabalsia fight rescheduled soon. And I'm trying to think who else. Obviously, Manel Cape, Alex, you know, not Alex Perez, but Kai Kara France. Like, you gotta, yep, you know, make these guys fight, and they are, and also push up these young guys. You know, the Joshua Vans, the Tatsuo Tarez, guys that we talk about week in and week out when we're talking about the flyweight division. So there's that. You know, this division could build up those stars, or, you know, or those next challengers. It's just a matter of getting there and developing that talent as well, and also giving them the good matchups that will challenge them. And help them progress, or at least test them.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the division itself is incredible. Like, there's so much talent. We just named off a bunch of dudes who are great, entertaining guys. It's just getting those guys active, getting them moving, and getting that division rolling. Because, you know, we should not be talking about
there's talent outside of the UFC, you know, that are flying. Yeah. Like, they could bring in a guy like, you know, or, you know, like you say, Horiguchi. You know, we mentioned him time and time again. Shorty Torres, man.
Yeah.
You know, there's guys out there. There's flyweights available. If you want to bring guys in, new challengers, new faces. So, you know, there's options. You just got to make it happen.
Yeah, I agree. One last thing I want to mention, and I guess we can mention a couple of the fights real quick before we move on. But Matt Schnell on the opposite end of that Steve Erceg knockout. I'm afraid that that Stu Matajiri just insane fight. I'm afraid that might have cracked his chin. Honestly,
think so.
Back-to-back brutal knockout losses for him, you know. So
we'll see. We'll have to see, like, going forward. Right, keep an eye on that.
Yeah.
You know, we got to talk about a few more that did happen on this fight. It's actually quite a decent bit of storylines. The notorious CLD getting a finish, Josh. Good for him. Continuing his UFC run. That was. Did you end up catching that one by any chance?
I did. I saw that one live. Great win for him. Love to see it.
And then the biggest upset of the night, Josh, I did not see this one coming. This one broke my heart because I had money on this fight. Ayman Zahabi versus Javid Basharat. Zahabi was, I forget how big, I think, I'm trying to look at it right now. Let's see if I can pull it up real quick. Basharat was a minus 900 favorite versus a plus 575 underdog, according to the book I'm looking at right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, shocker there for me, Josh. Did not expect that one. That one threw me for a loop, but good for Zahabi, right? Definitely, you know, when you're an underdog like that and people are, you know, betting against you, you know, you want to have that moment. So much love to him.
Yeah, I'm happy you mentioned him, man. Zahabi. It'd be pretty cool if, you know, he fought more than once a year. We could really, We could really actually find out how good he is, man. Four wins in a row, and each of those fights have come in, like, you know, that's his only fight of the year. I mean, Javid Basharat only won in 2024, knocked out Aori Quilling. I'm not sure if that's pronounced his name, a Chinese dude. Knocked him out last June, beat Ricky Tercios, and knocked out Jacob Rodriguez in 2021. Just every year he has one fight, so or even less than one fight. So, I mean, we'll keep an eye on him moving forward, but. Yeah, man. Oh, and I don't know if you mentioned it. Ludwig Klein, not a surprise here, annihilated AJ Cunningham. So,
I mean, AJ Cunningham coming on extremely short notice.
Oh yeah, that's why it wasn't surprising, but I felt like I had to mention it, you know.
No, no, no. You're not wrong, but you know, just to give context to the situation, you know what I mean?
Fuck the context, Angel. We don't need context here.
Damn, Josh, you just hurt my feelings.
I know, man. I'm sorry. Anyways, man, I'm ready to break into the biggest fight card of this weekend. Because we have, on Saturday night, going down from the KSA Center. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly, but it does. I mean, the fucking FTX Arena, okay?
Before where FTX, at? Yeah. What the fuck? Where are they fighting at?
They're fighting in Miami, Florida. Oh, okay. Angel. Miami Vice going down Saturday night, man.
Dude, by the way, I had no idea shit was going down in Florida, so this is news to me.
Oh, okay. I would thought you were fucking around. Yeah, going down to Miami, man. In the main events, a rematch with bantamweight gold on the line. Sugar Sean O'Malley won the title last August with a knockout win over Aljamain Sterling. And in a moment that was a long time coming for a lot of people, we talked about him potentially becoming a future star. That was a star-making moment. If you are who you think you are, a superstar, you know. Wow. Knocked out Aljo to win the gold, taking on the only man who has ever defeated him, Marlon Chito Vera. Won four of his last five, five of his last six, actually. The one loss was to Corey Sandhagen, who just dominated him last March, but he did earn a win over Pedro Munhoz last August. What do you make of this one, man? I mean, on paper, this is a fight that, you know, it should be a good one for Sean O'Malley. But at the same time, man, Chito is a tricky style. He has handed him a loss before, granted, due to injury. What do you make of this fight going down on Saturday?
I mean, it's going to be massive. You know, obviously, Sean is coming into his own, right? Could be becoming a star here soon. Has a lot of attention behind him, has a lot of eyes on him. And on top of that, you know, these two guys have history. They've already fought before. You know, I mean, you laid it out perfectly, Josh. I mean, you really threw it down there. You know, you gave me a perfect alley-oop. That's what I'm, you know, that's how I'm trying to put it.
Damn right I did. Yeah.
And, As far as the fight itself, man, I mean, for Sean, I mean, you know that on the feet, he's a sniper, man. He's challenging. He has I don't even know if it's power or it's precision, but it's something, man. He has something in those hands and his movement and his patience and all that. And, you know, he has a lot of self-belief. He's very real with himself. You know, he's talked about in fights where he, you know, he didn't know how the result was going to go and stuff like that. He's very self-aware. You know, obviously he tries to hide it, you know, because and you know, that's part of the image, right? You got to. I understand. Chito's himself, man. Real as fuck. Oh, just transparent. What you see is what you get. Nothing's hiding. As far as the fight, man, I'm curious. For me, I need to see Chito not let the fight develop in front of him. You know, I want to see him come out and kind of, win those rounds and make statements early on and, you know, get those rounds early on, and I hand him over to Sean and let Sean build up a lead in case if this fight doesn't end up going to distance. For Sean, it's obviously don't let Chito get comfortable. You know, I think that's the big thing. Once Chito gets comfortable and he's able to find some sort of some footing in the fight, you know, that's all you need to give him, and he'll be able to go on from there. Because he's one of those guys, his pacing in the fight is odd because it just builds and builds and builds, and then until he's able to finally get you out of there. And he is definitely one of those guys who, you know, he's not going to seek out the finish necessarily. He'll let it come to him. But even then, sometimes when he can maybe really go for it, he won't 100% commit to it. And I definitely like to see a change there too, especially in this championship fight. But for me, Josh, I got to give it to the one, the only, the Sugar Show, Sean O'Malley. Yeah. I think he's going to get it done this week, man. I think he needs this. It's a big fight. I'd say this is kind of a legacy fight in a way, right? Because like I said, only got to defeat him. And he wants to get that one back.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a legacy fight in Sean O'Malley's young career up to this point, it would be this one, man. I mean, to have the opportunity to face the guy who is your only loss whenever you become champion, like that's an incredible storyline. You know what I mean? Like he's got incredibly lucky, and granted, he has the star power because, I mean, let's be honest, Chito Vera isn't exactly like deserving of the title shot. But because he was there, he was the right man at the right time, so it's good for him as well. I'm going to go ahead and take Sugar Sean O'Malley to go ahead and retain the UFC gold, man.
The Sugar Show, baby.
The Sugar Show, man. I think he's going to go ahead and get the job done. I think down the stretch, Marlon Vera will probably cause some problems for him. But I think more than likely, I think Sean's going to be one step ahead, probably build up an early lead. I think he's going to have, and I think part of it too is just the fact that like we keep on counting him out. Now, granted, I mean, I picked him to win pretty much every fight up to the Aljo one, but people just keep on counting this guy out, man. He's legitimately good. He has great distance management. He hits very hard. Even in the grappling where you think like, oh damn, like I probably got a big advantage here. You don't, dude. This guy's great on the mat. You know what I mean? Now, granted, I wouldn't expect Marlon Vera to take a fight there anyway, but you get my point.
It could end up there, though. It's a championship fight, Josh. That's where people, you know, have to show everything.
Exactly. So, and if it does end up hitting the mat, I think Sean will be fine. I'm going to go ahead and take Sean O'Malley to win, more than likely by decision, if I had to guess, and retain the gold and you know, set up future fights with the likes of Marab and you know, Umar, because I know they're probably going to push that fight pretty soon, too. So,
Results would shock you in this fight, out of curiosity? I'm just curious, because you did call the decision pretty safe, right? I get it. I do it all the time.
Yeah.
Is there a reason you didn't pick a knockout or a submission on either end?
Realistically, I think if there's going to be a knockout, it's probably going to come from Cheeto, honestly.
Okay.
And I think just part of the fact that both these guys have great chins. I mean, Cheeto's never been finished in any capacity, whether submission or, you know, getting stopped by strikes. Sean only has the one stoppage loss, which is due to injury. I don't know, man. I think both these guys are just very technically proficient, and I think that they're not going to put themselves into harm's way. Sean O'Malley's a very exciting guy, but that's typically whenever he has a very exciting opponent coming at him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If he doesn't have somebody who's willing to go forward and put themselves into danger, he's not going to put himself into danger. You saw that in the Munoz fight. You kind of even saw that in the little 4 to 3 minutes that they actually fought back in 2020. Neither guy was kind of going for it. Now, granted, Cheeto generally starts slow to begin with, so that wasn't a huge surprise, but you get my point here. I think neither one of these guys are going to put themselves too much into danger to get caught bad enough to get stopped. So,
yeah. Yeah, Sean deals with the leg kicks. I think that's a big question, too.
Yeah,
we've definitely seen some issues in that department, some deficiencies there. I think in his last 3-4 fights, really, if I'm being honest. So, and you could definitely tell that's something that people are looking at to target. I don't know how exactly he's going to deal with that, but I know that's something from now on and for the rest of his career until he's able to, like, deal with it in a more efficient way, that it's something that people are going to go to very confidently. And obviously, then the wrestlers are going to try to obviously test his grappling game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting, man. I'm going to go and pick Sean to get the win, and it'll be an interesting fight, man. The co-main event, though, is a fight that I am just as excited for. I mean, we compare them, right? UFC 299 versus UFC 300. Which one's better? I don't really know. It's up for debate. But goddamn.
Let it be, you know?
But goddamn, 299 is good, and that is reflected in that co-main event. Dustin the Diamond Poirier, 35 years young. We know the story here. Been a contender forever. Former interim champion. Still trying to get back to the title. Still trying to become champion. Coming off a knockout loss to Justin Gaethje last July, we'll be taking on the rising god of war, Benoit Saint Denis, a former French Army paratrooper, 13-1 his career, won 5 wins in a row, all coming by way of stoppage, including a knockout win over Matt Frivola last November. He's having a major step up here, man. What do you make of this fight?
I mean, we got to discuss a little bit more about this. I mean, I forgot what fight it was after, but I remember after one of Dustin's fights, he kind of stated that, like, you know, I'm not going to fight unless, or I'm only going to take big fights, like fights that pay me, you know, fights for the title. You know, it didn't seem like he was going to fight down. And I remember at the time, I was like, dude, that's actually insane that he just said that, because that just fucks over everybody else in the division. I don't know if the UFC was upset about that, or I don't know if he's getting offered a huge amount of money for this, or if he wants to test himself, because obviously he got knocked out by Jess and he wants to see, you know, do I still have it in me? You know, I'm sure he, you know, everybody's going to have self-belief in himself. No one's going to bet against himself. Obviously, he went into that thinking, you know, I'm going to get fucking Justin Gaethje out of here, right? Because that's the mentality you got to have.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if maybe he's trying to check, like, do I still got it against all these levels? You know, I kind of wonder if that's a factor. Obviously, I'm kind of speculating here. I'm kind of trying to pull stuff out of air, but that is something that we didn't really discuss a lot. And he's come out too recently in an interview saying like that retirement's not that far away. And I almost wonder if Dustin, if he does lose this fight, if he does retire, you know? Because this is new blood. This is a young guy, you know. He like so he's getting picked up in competition. You know, I feel like I think a lot of people are probably favoring Dustin going into this fight because of the name. And maybe people are looking past a little bit past that St. Denis and kind of the abilities he has. I'm gonna kind of hear your take on this, and kind of your thoughts on all that, just all that.
Yeah, honestly, my thoughts on it, man. I am so and I'm you know. I am somebody who has hyped up Benoit St. Denis for essentially his entire career, at least since he's really kind of come on to, like, the main scene in the UFC. I remember whenever he had his debut when he came in on, I believe, short notice to face Ilizius Gulacio dos Santos. And that was a welterweight fight where I remember he got just annihilated in, like, the second round, and he looked half dead, and then somehow survived. And I remember people on Twitter were like, oh, my God, who the fuck is this guy? Like, how's he staying up? And then he came back to win round three because he's just built different, apparently.
He's just that fucking guy.
He's just that fucking guy, man. In every fight, you've seen the improvement, right? Like, it's easy to forget, but he came to the UFC very raw. 2 years into his pro career, he was in the UFC. He had a lot of fights, 8 fights in the first 2 years, 9 if you count the no contest. So he didn't have a whole lot of experience, and he's been getting that experience against world-class talent. I mean, Thiago Moises, a great guy, just fucking ran through him. Matt Frivola, we know the story there, a great guy, fucking ran through, and he was on a great run, too, and knocked out guys like Trudeau, just ran through him. But for me, This may be a step too far at this time. I think Benoit Saint-Denis is a great fighter. It's going to be 5 rounds, and he's facing a former champion. It may seem like it's a bit too much to climb. That's my thoughts on it. I think it may be a bit too much to climb, because if you're going to have to try and outbox this Borre. And Benoit Saint-Denis, how has he kind of won his fights thus far? He's kind of just straight up like a tank, just brute force the shit. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, just walking forward. You're not going to knock me out, so I'm just going to take all the shit you're throwing back at me. And just walking through it. He's not really going to be able to walk through Dustin Poirier like that. And I don't know if he'll be able to find the opening that he needs in order to get him out of there. I love me some Benoit Saint-Denis, but I think this could genuinely be not a fraud check moment, but like a Dustin Poirier, you know, y'all must have forgot type moment. What do you think?
I mean, I think it could also turn into a Justin Gaethje Fazeev moment too, right? Like,
yeah.
Just a hard fought fight and a veteran holding his spot and proving like, yeah, I'm here, bro. I'm not washed. But granted, though, like I said, you know, this is why I was asking about the retirement, all that. Dustin is coming off a KO loss. On top of that, lots of talks about retirement. He's a fighter with a lot of miles. I mean, when you're looking at the whole UFC, I think he's one of the guys on the roster with the most, you know, fights probably at the moment within the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
Which is I'm a little alarmed. You know, he's 36, going on 37 here soon. Like and like you said, there's not, you know, he's like, I'm not gonna be fighting until I'm 40. And you got this young buck in front of you, a guy who has definitely a lot of self-belief himself. Like, I don't know, I kind of had to question it a little bit. I don't know. There's a lot of things that worry me about Dustin going into this fight. And you know, I need to go with my gut feeling, Josh. I got to take some risks early on in the year, you know, with my picks. I'm going to go with St. Denis in this one, dude. I think this is this will show us how much Dustin has left in the tank, and if he's still at this level, he's definitely still at this level, but if he's still going to want to continue after this. Because I think if he takes a loss to, like a guy, like I mentioned earlier, a guy at this lower rank, he might be like, I need to step away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. You know what, man? I've been thinking about this a lot. I don't want to do it, but I'm going to take Dustin Poirier, man. Like I said, I think it's a bit much. Like you said, Dustin's kind of 1 foot in, 1 foot out, and you know, ultimately this fight almost didn't even happen because you know, midway through fight camp, you know, Dustin revealed that he hadn't signed a deal. Hadn't signed the deal yet to fight Benoit, and, you know, Dana, you know, blamed the media. I can't believe we made him do that. But, so, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going against us and Poirier, I feel like. At the same time, though, man, I think, like, just stylistically, he's a big problem for Benoit. Benoit's going to have to try and find that opening. I don't think he will be able to. And five rounds is always tough. You know what I mean? We even saw it last week. And granted, heavyweight, different than lightweight. Shamil Gaziev going five. Couldn't do it. It's so much different. You have to pace yourself. And Benoit's not a guy that paces himself. So it's like, all right, you have to try and pace yourself out against five to try and get out a guy who's a sniper in the form of Dustin Poirier, one of the greatest boxers in the UFC, try and find that opening. Or you go out there and you're going to blow your load and try and get him out of there in the early rounds, which is what he typically always does. But historically, his gas tank has not been great. You kind of see it because he throws so much. He's so active. His gas tank, and he's gotten finishes whenever he's been tired too. But just it doesn't look like he's equipped to go 25 minutes. And if he does, then it's probably because he's trying to make sure he doesn't gas out. But it's going to be harder for him to find that opening because his wild style works so well for him. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, am I being too harsh here?
No, I mean, I get it. You're making good statements. Like I'm telling you, I'm just worried about this halfway, half in, half out, and coming off a KO loss and a guy with a lot of miles. But look, like, he's a vet. No matter what, like, Dustin's going to be in there for those five rounds and be dangerous for all of those five rounds.
Oh, yeah. No doubt, man. No doubt. As long as as long as both these guys are alive, they still got a chance, and it's going to be a very fun fight. But anyways, man, I think we should go ahead and move on. Because this might be the fight I'm most excited for on the entire card, which sounds a little bit crazy on paper, but I don't think it's that crazy, honestly. Michael Venom Page, MVP, has been one of those guys that we've wanted to see in the UFC for quite a long time. We know the run from Bellator, fought for the Bellator world title on, I believe, two occasions. Came up short against Logan Storey in a bid for interim gold back, I believe, in 2022, I want to say. Beating the likes of Paul Daly, Douglas Lima, Goichi Yamaguchi, Cyborg Santos. I mean, he's beaten a couple of great dudes. Finally making his UFC debut. He signed earlier this year. He will be taking on one of those entertaining men at welterweight, Trailblazer, Kevin Holland, ranked number 13. 25-10 is the record, coming off a split decision loss to Jack De La Maddalena in September. Prior to that, he'd won two in a row. Perfect test for Michael Venom Page to see where he's at. What do you make of this fight, man?
Could be fight of the night, man. Could become fight of the night. These guys could just put on an absolute show. I'm excited. I mean, look, finally, MVP gets to show his talents on the big stage. You know, he's had his opportunity in Bellator, right? And he got to do it in bare knuckle as well. And I think people will finally put some respect on MVP's name. I think regardless if it's a win or loss, I know he's going to put out a good show. For me, dude, I need that Wonder Boy matchup too, man. That's the other thing. And, I think he'll finally show people, like, I am that fucking high of a level. I do deserve to be able to fight against the best. I can't be a champion in the UFC. And I think he's going to make that statement this Saturday night on the pay-per-view, Josh, at UFC 299. I arguably think that he should have been on 300 because I think he's capable of being that big of a star because he has the personality. He has a style. He has the backing. He has the nation behind him. I'm making fucking MVP, man. God damn it.
Yeah.
And he has the name, Michael Venom.
Venom.
Page!
Yeah,
when,
there you go.
When Bruce Buffer screams that in the crowd, you can't tell me that it's not going to be fucking electric, man.
It's going to be, dude, you're going to feel it. You're going to feel it.
Dude, just think about it. Think about how he's going to say every single word, one by one, and get in his face and scream it. Ah!
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude. Yeah, hell yeah, brother. Yeah, he's gonna do it, man. I mean, it's gonna be surreal to see MVP because he's one of those guys that I really thought, like Chandler, was gonna be a Bellator lifer. You know what I mean? I didn't see him. Huh?
Which was okay if that did happen. You know, let's not you know hate on it, right?
Yeah, no, of course not. But look, dude, he was one of those few guys who had his contract expiring at the right time. like this Bellator PFL merger was upcoming, and he saw the writing on the wall. He's like, you know what, man, I'm gonna go ahead and head out, man. I'm gonna head out. So it worked out well for him. I'm in full agreement with you. I think Michael Venom Page is gonna get a win on Saturday. I think he may lose to Kevin Holland. Kevin's a great striker, but I think if he keeps it on the feet, that's gonna be a massive mistake for him. And I think Kevin Holland, he's a showman. You know, he's probably gonna try and keep it on the feet to try and prove his worth.
I think he'll be shocked. I think he might surprise Kevin Holland. Like, Kevin Holland might be like, oh, fuck.
I agree with you. And look, man, I'm somebody who's been around for a long time and always said, like, MVP is that good. Like, for whatever reason, people have always wanted to be like, oh, man, he's a can crusher. And look, he's had more than a few fights where it's just like, okay, Bellator is setting up this poor, you know, fucking 6-2 guy to get annihilated by MVP because they know it'd be good, a good highlight to go viral. That did happen a lot in his early career where he just fought guys who were not good. But by the end there, like, he was fighting guys like Derek Anderson, who maybe they're not like a household name, but are genuinely good fighters. You know what I mean? Like, his last fight, Goichi Yamaguchi, where he just blew out everything in his leg. I mean, Goichi's fucking great, dude. Like, he's a genuinely great fighter. And one of the best guys in Bellator. And MVP has beaten a lot of those guys. Shit, I thought he deserved to win the interim title against Logan Storley, because Logan did really nothing in that entire fight, but did literally zero damage. So, I mean, I remember thinking that he deserved a nod there. So I've been a big proponent of MVP for a long time. I've thought he's always been UFC caliber. And it's time, man. It's time for him to go ahead and go out there and show what he's made of. And I think he's going to walk away with a win. But, yeah, man. I mean, Kevin Holland's also a live dog. Let me be very clear here.
Yeah.
I mean, right. Kevin never gets blown out. Even in his losses, man, he's never really gotten, like, blown out or, like, dominated.
He's there.
He's always there. Even at 185, when he was facing a lot of guys who were, like, bigger than him, you know what I mean? Like, he wasn't getting blown out. He was always staying competitive, and I expect the same thing to happen here, but I'm expecting Michael Venom Page to get the win on Saturday night. But you know, man, there's a lot of guys, you know, you and I kind of talked about this in the green room. You know, there's a lot of guys who are trying to make a run on this card. A lot of guys who have something to prove. Two guys that got stuff to prove are Gilbert Burns and Jack Della Maddalena, man. Gilbert Burns, Dorino, we know the story here, man. Been out of action since a loss to Bilal Muhammad at the title eliminator. Well, it was supposed to be a title eliminator, poor Bilal. In a fight last May where he blew out his shoulder. Jack Della Maddalena, we know the story, man. Undefeated in the UFC. Won, I want to say, 6 in a row. His last two he took, he struggled a little bit. I mean, split decision win over Kevin Holland, split decision win over Basil Hafez. Still, though, got the undefeated record in the promotion. What do you make of this fight?
It's a hard fight, man. I think it's a hard fight for both guys. I think, for Gilbert, you know, he's obviously going to have to deal with Jack's ability on the feet, the power. But the same, it's also coming the same way back. You know, I think Gilbert, you know, you traditionally think, you know, Gilbert Burns is a jiu-jitsu guy. But over the past few years and over time now, you know, he's really developed his hands. And he has power. You know, he could get you out of there on the feet, too. So he's capable of doing it on the feet, on the ground. And I'm kind of curious to see where Gilbert takes this fight. Is he going to primarily stay on the feet? Because if he does, I wonder if he'll be able to, like, you know, get one over on Jack, or if that will be Gilbert's mistake and Jack will get one over on him. And then we've also seen Jack have those deficiencies, or at least it seemed like he might have some deficiencies on the ground. And like, with a guy like Gilbert Burns, who has, you know, his kind of jiu-jitsu, and especially with all the guys at Killcliff who have a lot of great wrestling abilities, like, it could be a tough night for Jack to allow Maddalena. But you know something? I'm going to take this young guy, this young dog, this Australian, 27 years young. I have faith in him, man. And he's not coming out of, like, a big gym. You know, he's coming out of a different gym in Australia that I'm not sure the name of. And he's establishing himself as a contender in his division. And it's so quick. And it's so crazy, Josh. He's only 27. Like, it is actually insane. I mean, like you said there, he did slow down a little bit because for a while there was first round finish after first round finish. And like you said, in his last two split decisions to kind of, put us on pause there and kind of made me think, like, hey, you know, like, maybe there's some stuff to work on here. But I think Gilbert Burns is the right matchup, though, as far as, like, the continuation of competition. So I have no issues here, man. I probably think this fight, out of all the fights in the main card, has some of the most stakes going for a guy. Obviously, St. Denis taking the, like we talked earlier, like, taking the big jump. let's see, MVP, just debuting and fighting a ranked opponent is also huge. Like, there's a lot for everybody. Like, everybody has a lot on the line. And I think this is what's making this card so great. We stated it earlier. This card is all these guys have something to prove. But on top of that, a lot of guys have a lot to earn and will get massive jumps in their individual weight classes. And that's, I think that's the beauty of what cards can be if they're done properly.
Mm. I fully agree with you. And this is one of those, fights to where, like, man, this is an entire card. Like, I'm very much split on it. And you and I kind of talked this in, like, the green room. But I really don't know, man. I'm really, like, I'm in the middle on a lot of these fights. And that's the case for obviously this one. That being said, I'm going to go ahead and take Jack Della Maddalena to get the job done, man. I mean, I'm very cautious on this, very cautious on picking this fight. And I think if Gilbert Burns was, what he was prior to the fight against Belov, by that I mean, like, he didn't blow out his shoulder too bad. Because I know personally, shoulder stuff, you don't want to fuck with it, man. It's absolutely brutal to have, like, a shoulder injury. And a lot of guys, it's hard for them to kind of come back. It's just one of those things, like blowing out an Achilles or something. You know what I mean? It's very difficult to come back from that. So I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna go ahead and take him to get the job done. Jack Della Maddalena. If Gilbert Burns is what he used to be, I would probably pick him. But I don't know, man. I got some question marks. So I'm gonna go and take Jack Della Maddalena to get the job done. And ultimately, I'm not really sure where this, how it's gonna play out. I don't think he'll get a finish. I think Gilbert Burns was so tough, and you saw that in that Belal fight where, I know it's fun to kind of poke fun and be like, oh God, Belal just can't knock out anybody, and that is funny. But at the same time, it is true that Gilbert Burns just has that dog in him. He's an incredibly strong guy, a great chin on him, very defensively competent as well. So, I'm going to go ahead and take Jack Della Maddalena to get the win. And if he gets the win, I mean, fuck it, he's right there. We're talking, you got a potential title shot, man. I mean, we're not that far away from that becoming a thing. And that's, just imagine telling somebody that, like a while ago. I mean, telling somebody like, in 2 years ago, oh yeah, Jack Della Maddalena, he's going to be fine for the title already. You know what I mean? Like just crazy. Because if you take a look at that UFC, like welterweight division, like obviously we have Belal Muhammad, who I think has to be next. I don't think he will be. I don't know why. Man, they really fucking hate that guy, man, huh? They really hate fucking Belal Muhammad, bro. They really do. I don't really know why. But it looks like they're gonna end up giving, Shavkat that title shot over him. So we'll see it. We'll see how that plays out. But ultimately, yeah, Jack Della Maddalena with a win here would set himself up for a potential title shot. Angel, what do you think, man? Do you think he's going to get the job done?
100%. 100%.
Yeah. That's what I thought, man. We'll see how it plays out, though, man, because, Burns is a live dog, 100%. So we'll just see. We'll see how the way it goes. In regards to the last fight on the main card, it is the return of No Mercy, Piotr Jan, man.
No, I mean, it's just, Piotr's just got turned into a meme so much over time. It's just a little funny, man. I'm sorry.
No, I get you. I mean, you're not wrong, too. I mean, he has lost three of his last four, and that's just crazy to me, because I can't imagine. Like, fucking imagine. Imagine going back and saying, and telling yourself, after he beat Jose Aldo in 2020 and he won the belt, oh, yeah, he's going to win four of his next five. Like, that just doesn't compute. You know what I mean?
Like, dude, we thought he was going to be him. Like, we said it on the show. At least I did. I was like, dude, I think he's going to hold this shit for a while.
I agreed with you. I fully agreed with you, dude, because he really is that good. But that's the way it goes. That's the way the cookie crumbles. I mean, you have the DQ against Aljo, and then he lost to Aljo outright. And then he lost to O'Malley, and that fight was close, and then a lot of people thought he won, and then he had the Merab fight where Merab just dominated him.
Yeah, just ran through him.
50-43'd him. Now coming back, he's going to face Song Yadong in what really should be it's not a tune-up for him, but it's a good stylistic matchup for him, man. If you're going to fight a young kid, you know, if you're going to fight a guy who's like a younger guy on the rise at bantamweight, if you're Pyotr Jan, I think that's probably one of the better matchups for him compared to a guy like Umar who's coming up or something like that. So, yeah, man, it's going to be interesting. Who do you got in this one?
Look, I think Song Jedong has just been like one big fight from breaking through. You know, I thought he was going to do that in the Corey Sandhagen fight. Ended up falling a little short in that, but since then, he has picked up with the Ricky Simon win, a good one over Chris Gutierrez. I think for him, it's just like a matter of time when it's going to happen. And like, once again, dude, another young guy, and we mention this every time with him too, 26 years old, and this is the position he's in at this point in his career. You know, where is he going to be in 4 years? You know, like, and he's only getting better, and he's with the right camp. I mention this every time. He comes at a Team Alpha Male. He has the right coach too. The guy in Uriah Faber, lots of talented guys in there. You know, Andre Feely, Lance Parmo, Julian Pava, you know, just to name a few, but and so on and so forth, out of all the other guys that have been in and out of there. I mean, for me, Josh, this is a, I mean, I can see it going either way. I want to pick Song Jedong, but I think I'm going to go Pyotr Jan. I think Pyotr Jan is just going to be able to just get the victory. For some reason, I know the fights as far as experience kind of lean a little bit the more way Song Jedong, but I feel like fight maturity and you know, to be questionable, but fight IQ, you know, because of the, you know, because DQ knee might be in Pyotr Jan's player in favor.
Yeah, man. I mean, I agree with you. It really does feel like he's just one big one from breaking through. Like that, it really does feel like that. And you kind of see that in terms of like the buzz around him and the matchups that he gets. They've given him a lot of main events like the Apex. They've given him some big guys over time. He's headlined 3 shows in a row. They see his value. But I think Pyotr Jan's going to get one back. You know, I think both these guys are very great strikers. But I think Pyotr Jan has more experience at the top level. And I think he knows how big this fight is for him. I don't think he'd admit it, you know, and I haven't really seen him talk a whole bunch during fight week as of now. But I think he knows how big this fight is for him. I mean, 3 losses in a row, 4 in his last 5. He really needs this one to stay at the top level of, you know, the bantamweight division. So I'm going to go and take him to get the job done. I think he's more competent on the feet. I think he has more experience at the top level. And I think he'll get the job done. Your final prediction, I'm assuming you're taking Song Jedong.
Oh, yeah, no, I said it there to start, too. I'm on the same boat. I got Song Jedong. I'm surprised we didn't split on that one. I thought that was potentially one that we were going to go, you know, go 1-1 each. I didn't even know if it was going to be me or you, you know, because I thought, yeah. I even at one point thought picking Song Jedong going into this.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool that we both ended up going the same route.
Yeah, I mean, we've split on a couple picks, yeah, so we'll take it. Well, by that, I mean, I guess it's only 2, but. Whatever. Anyways, man, in regards to the rest of this pay-per-view card, man, what fights are you most excited for? It's not like the most stacked prelims, but they do got a bunch of good fights.
I mean, Josh, we always got to mention this guy because he is one of our favorite guys to watch in the whole roster. Michelle Pereira continuing his 185 campaign against Michelle Oliachek, which is a good fight for him. I think it's a good fight to continue to get him, you know, comfortable in the division and, you know, continue feeling out how he's going to be going forward in his division. Mm-hmm. On top of that, Josh, a guy that we've been talking about a lot off air, not too much on air. I think we did mention when he got signed. I do not know how to pronounce his last name, but Robles Despagne,
aka that's good Big enough Boy, for me, man.
aka Big Boy, 35-year-old heavyweight coming out of Cuba, silver Olympian, or is it Pan American? I could be incorrect. A medalist in, what was it, Taekwondo?
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of his fights when he turned pro was a knockout finish. He was just running through guys in the regional scene, which I'm sure was going to probably turn for him. It was going to get very hard for him to get fights, let alone at heavyweight, and even in the regional scene. So I guess he kind of probably was going to need the call up anyways. Bronze medalist, by the way, Josh. My bad. Bronze medalist in the Olympic Games 2012.
It's called.
So he will be making his debut against Josh Parisian. So I'd say good luck to Josh Parisian, and I'm curious to see how Rebellis gets it done. But you never know. I mean, you know, he only has 4 fights. You never know how his ground game is going to be and how it's going to if it's developed at all. So there could be some trouble in that department. And I'm not even quite sure what camp he comes out of. So that's but he's in Florida, so maybe potentially Killcliff. But I don't think we know either for a fact or not which where he may come out of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I mean, it's interesting, man. He's a guy that, like, this fight on paper is honestly really funny to me, because it's like, it's funny because I think he could lose this fight. Like, he genuinely could. Like, he's looked incredible, and a guy that lost to Parker Porter should not beat him. But at the same time, I mean, it is 22 professional fights plus however many Josh Parisian has an amateur against a guy with 4 pro fights. Like, there's a massive difference, especially in terms of experience. So,
hey, but if he's him, Josh, if he has that talent.
Well, and I agree with you. I think he is him. I mean, they know how good he is. There's a reason why they signed him and gave him a guy in Josh Parisian, because he should beat that guy and he should become a star for them. So mm-hmm. I get it. Should be fun though, man. I liked how you mentioned that heavyweight fight over a literal number one contender's fight in the form of
shit. I looked at it too. You know, we gotta yeah. let each other kind of take a lead on different yeah. fights. You know,
no, I know. I'm just dicking around, man. But you know, excited for that one. I believe the winner of that's probably gonna end up fighting Tom Aspinall for the interim title. I don't know when. That seems what's likely. You know, so we'll see. We'll see. And that fight is just an excellent one. I have no idea there. I mean, that's a straight up coin flip between Jailton and Curtis Blaydes, man. At least for me personally. Should be interesting though. We have Macy Barber. She's going to come back the future 25 years young. And it looks like, you know, she had a little bit of premature hype, but she is the future. I mean, she's won 5 in a row now, and just that Amanda Hebos fight was just violence, dog. Like that.
Granted
was,
though, Josh, she did have a few, you know, questionable decisions in there.
She did. Yeah.
But she did prove herself in that Amanda Hebos fight, though.
Yeah.
So credit where credit is due.
100%, man. It's also
a big time fight, though. I'm cutting you off there a little bit. That is a big time fight. Like it's probably going to get overlooked a lot, but that's a big time fight for that division because that puts her in a position to not be that far removed from a potential title. I don't think she gets a title shot after that fight, but. She won't be far from it if she ends up winning that one.
Yeah. You're not wrong, man. You're not wrong. I mean, and she also said that she's down to fight at bantamweight if it's like the right, you know.
Matchup.
Yeah. Specifically, Juliana Pena is who she wants.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Could you imagine that?
Yeah, I like that fight. I like that fight. But yeah, she's going to be taking on Kayla Chookagian on the undercard. Pedro Munoz taking on Kyler Phillips. Should be a lot of fun. Kyler Phillips, Matrix, trying to break through at 135. Should be a fun fight. Ian Cuisalaba back against Felipe Lins. You know, that should be a fun one. A guy that's returns really flown into the radar, probably because of his weight issues. Michelle Paella going to be back against Michelle Oliolchuk. Who, you know, interesting matchup here, man. I really thought they would give Paella somebody bigger at 185, considering he's won, like, 7 fights in a row and beaten multiple ranked guys. A little bit surprised, but it is what it is.
I think they'll give it to him after yeah. this. Like, they'll give him a decent opponent after this, hopefully. At least a ranked opponent. I would imagine so. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I don't know for a fact, but,
yeah.
You know, especially because he was ranked at 170, you know, you'd imagine he'd eventually get that chance at in the division, in the... At 185 as well.
Yeah, 100%, man, 100%. We also got a couple other people, CJ Vergara coming back, and the Joanne Wood, taking on Maria Moroz. It's a fun fight card. What would you put this one out of 10, Angel?
8.5.
Yeah.
Pushing a 9 almost.
Yeah, I'm going to give it an 8.7. I'm going to give it an 8.7. I think that's 8-7. The best one.
Oh, man, you hit him with a Dave Portnoy rating, dude.
I've been doing that, man. I can't help. I've watched a couple of those reviews, and now I just, you know, always end up, I feel like, giving them all, you know.
But did you only take one bite, Josh? It's a one-bite review. Come on, dude. Come on.
I only took one bite into this card, man. Only one.
Come on, dude. What the fuck are you doing?
Anyways, man. We do have more fights to preview. So, UFC 299 going down on Saturday night, on Friday night.
The real main event of the weekend, Josh.
Yeah, I know. The people's main event. Anthony Joshua taking on Francis Ngannou in Saudi Arabia this Friday night. Frank Ngannou back for the first time since his loss to Tyson Fury in October, looking to upset AJ again, stepping in as the underdog. What do you make of this fight, man?
I just need to correct you there, Josh. I think you mistaken. You said a loss. I think you meant to say victory over Tyson Fury. That's okay, though. We'll take care of that in post. But fuck me. Holy shit. I mean, look, we are blessed this weekend with the quality of fights we're getting and the events we're getting. Shout out Saudi Arabia for putting on these major fights. I mean,
Shout out Saudi.
I just got to put it out there, man. They're making them happen. Big time fight, right? I think we talked about this privately multiple times. We think that if Francis wins the fight, there's a potential chance. And it's kind of fucked up, right? Because Hendon Phinea just won his fight in the PFL. But if Francis wins here and beats Joshua, me and Josh have said there's a potential chance that Francis would never fight MMA again, and no one could blame him for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't know that for a fact, but it might just happen. You know, if he gets it done against AJ, AJ's, you know, former champ, Olympian, you know, great quality of opponent, a good boxer, you know, multiple time, I guess technically now multiple time champ, right? You know, and he's coming off two highlight wins, taking on Ngannou, and he took the fight. That's the other thing, right? So he obviously, he knows he believes and he knows he should be able to take care of business. He could have got anybody, right? So the pay must be good, and he realizes, at least in his perspective, the risks aren't that big. I'm assuming that's at least the way that AJ is probably looking at it, I would imagine. But, I mean, as far as the fight itself, man, I mean, I know we're not giving you predictions, but, man, dude,
you can give a prediction? Fuck it. Who do you think is going to win?
I mean, dude, I think Francis has a good chance as anybody, man. I will never doubt Francis ever. And I haven't, man. I picked him against Tyson Fury, and I'll pick him again on this show, man. I will fucking embarrass myself for fucking or Francis Ngannou, Josh. Because I genuinely think he can win that fight. I genuinely think he could get AJ out of there. I think he could fight in a championship fight for the belt in boxing. I think he could do that.
Yeah.
And he's done it. He's done the impossible already many of times. Why can't he make it again, man? You know. I'll never. There's. I'm about to give a quote right here. You know, it's funny because where it's gonna come from, but. You know, he's already living the dream. You know, he's already doing it. And I remember there's this interview with Zac Efron on Ellen. And he's talking about how Michael Jackson called him. You know, he called his agent, you know, Mike, and he's on the phone with Michael. And they're having a little conversation. You know, he's getting a little emotional because, holy shit, Michael Jackson is calling. You know, Michael Jackson knows who I am. And during that conversation, you know, Michael tells Zac, he's like, isn't this amazing? You know, dreams really do come true. And I think, you know, I can say the same to about Francis. You know, isn't this amazing? Mm-hmm. You know, dreams really do come true. He did get to box, and he's doing it on the biggest stage, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Yeah. I fully agree, man. I mean, this is a fight that, I mean, I'm not going to – if gun to my head, if I had to pick, I would not pick –
If your life depended on it, you know.
Yeah, if my life depended on it, I would not pick Francis Ngannou to win this fight. However, can Francis Ngannou win this fight? 110%. If my life's not depending on it, would I pick him? Yeah, probably. I mean, he's just not the smart pick, but he showed his skill against Tyson Fury. And trust me, I know just as well as you guys know. Oh, Ngannou, you know, Fury just didn't take it serious. I mean, that's the only reason why he did well. I mean, what else were these pieces? Oh, he had an injury in camp or something. You know, the sun was in his eyes, so he didn't perform as well. All the excuses. I fully expect the same thing to happen if and when Francis Ngannou does well against Anthony Joshua. That being said, man, I think it's going to be a nice night for him, man. I think it's going to be a nice night for Francis Ngannou. Win, lose, or draw, he's going to get another massive payday. He got a career-high payday against Tyson Fury last October. So it's a good time to be France Ngannou, man. I really don't know if he will go ahead and get it done, but I think he easily could. In regards to the rest of the event, man, what fights are you also excited to see? Excited to see Big Zhang back against Joseph Parker?
Yeah, I mean, for Joseph Parker, I'm glad to see him get an opportunity, man. I mean, I forget how young Joseph Parker is. Sometimes, especially at heavyweight, I mean, he's only 32. I mean, that's pretty young for this division when you have guys in here like Ngannou, Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury, and even Zhang, his own opponent, who's 40, turning 41 this year. So, I mean, Joseph Parker isn't that far away from being in a position where he can kind of get a big, I mean, probably isn't that far from, in general, being deserving of a title shot.
Yeah, no, I mean, if heavyweight was normal right now, Zhang would be getting a title shot against somebody. I mean, he's a WBO champion, so I guess he technically would be interim champion. So I guess he'd be the one fighting Usyk, if he wasn't fighting Fury, obviously. So, yeah, man, I mean, it's gonna be interesting, this entire event. I mean, I'm very excited to see, like, that fight. The heavyweights, man, it's, that main and co-main are just incredible, dude. I mean, I know that, like, we're an MMA show, so I won't stay too long on it. Big Bang Zhang, his out of nowhere run, you know, putting down Joe Joyce twice was just incredible. And then Joseph Parker coming off the win over Wilder, man. I'm a big fan of that guy. Just an incredibly hard worker. Not the biggest at heavyweight, not the fastest, not, he doesn't have all the attributes. He's not a crazy hitter like Wilder or fucking Ngannou. You know what I mean? But he finds a way to win. And I love that type of shit. So yeah, man, I'm so hyped for this card going down on Friday, man. And from Saudi Arabia. So should be a lot of fun. That being said, we do have a couple of, quick news pieces to go ahead and hit before we bounce out of here, man. Over the weekend in Puerto Rico, we saw Jake Paul return to the ring, fighting my Uber driver, Ryan Borland. The fight
Jesus
basically.
Christ. We found out he wasn't actually an Uber driver, right? Like.
Yeah, he wasn't actually an Uber driver. I'm just doing a bit. yeah, man, he went ahead and he faced Ryan Borland, knocked him out inside of one round. Not a knockout, it was a standing TKO, but what did you think, man?
I mean, this is the kind of performance we kind of expected, right? You know, he's building up his record, he's taking on fights that are in super high risk, and you hope that with over time he will increase the level of competition. You know, it was a pretty standard win, you know, and he got a guy with some accolades, you know, that weren't the best of accolades, but there were some, you know, he's a Golden Glove champ, had a fair bit of wins under his belt, had a decent bit of experience. But like we said, in, you know, previously, he came with a caveat, right? He had been far removed from he had been removed from competing for a while. He was fighting up a weight class, I believe. So there was a lot more to it. But, Jake did what he had to do, you know, and you got to credit him for taking care of business as you should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's really no flaws you could take away from this performance. I mean, in regards to, I mean, he was winging a bunch of shots, but he was winging a bunch of shots. Everybody knew what this is. I mean, I said it. Ryan Borland on paper was a worse opponent than, on paper and on film, was a worse opponent than Andre August. So I wasn't really that surprised to see this kind of go the way to, I think Andre landed some shots. I don't think Ryan Borland punch the entire fight. But
how likely do you think it is for Andre August and Ryan Borland to fight on an undercard of Jake's promotion now?
Makes so much sense, right?
I'm just saying, you know?
Well, not only does it make sense, I think they have multiple common opponents. Like, it's more than one. So, it makes a lot of sense.
Right? To finally meet, you know? Random as hell, but why the hell not, right?
Yeah. Yeah, man, it's gonna be funny, man. Yeah. Good for Jake and, good for Ryan Borland. Hopefully he got paid well. I mean, he knew what his job was, man. He went in there. I don't think he threw an actual punch the entire time. It was what it was. I mean, everybody that was gonna watch that fight knew what was gonna happen. We all knew it. I mean, Jake, I think Jake was an upwards of a -3,000 favorite for that fight.
Man,
crazy?
Vegas had that shit on lock, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's impossible for it not to be, literally. So, yeah, man, good for Jake, I guess. He said he's going to box again very, very soon. I'm expecting a call any day now.
You let him know, Josh. You let him know. He doesn't want that.
He doesn't want the smoke, me and my fucking two weeks of fucking training. This is something that I actually feel bad because we did not preview this, but I do want to go ahead and give this the nod, at least in the form of a recap. Junior Dos Santos left the UFC in 2021, I believe. He had the one fight in Eagle FC, but he's been making his home in Jorge Masvidal's Game Bred FC MMA. Game Bred Bare Knuckle MMA, excuse me. And over the weekend, he faced Alan Belcher, knocking him out, becoming Game Bred's first heavyweight champion. Did you see his performance? What'd you make of it?
Yeah, I saw the highlights, man. It looked like it was a bloody mess, literally and figuratively. By the way, him touching the camera afterwards with his glove and getting a little bit of blood on it, that was pretty cool. Good for him. I mean, I was worried for him after he left, because I was like, I don't know if he should be competing, because he had gotten knocked out multiple times, viciously. So, hey, I'm glad everything's worked out, man. You like to see that, you know. You don't want to see anybody do bad, you know.
No, not at all. I mean, he did get stomped out in his last like four or five fights. I mean, he was just fighting brutal dudes, honestly. So, it worked out in the end for him. Good for JDS, man. You love to see that sort of shit. I love seeing dudes who are kind of in like the twilight of their career having a couple more moments of greatness. You know what I mean? And obviously, this fight, it was kind of a freak show promotion, kind of a freak show fight. But shit, man, I mean, Alan Belcher had some big wins in the boxing ring and a BKFC. So definitely happy for JDS, man. Happy for JDS. And also, shout out Big Brown on the call. Shout out Brendan Schaub on the commentary desk.
Yeah, how did he do? I didn't get to really listen to it.
You know.
It was Brendan Schaub.
It was Schaub, man. It was Schaub. A lot of Schaubisms were in there, man. What do you like? You know,
really?
Yeah, a lot of Schaubisms. You know.
Did he bring up how Pantoja beat JTS?
Yeah, man. I can't believe it, bro. Honestly, what are we doing here? You know.
Oh man, he's really had some stinkers. Did you see him flip his truck? I know that's very like a little bit off topic right now, but
I did see Brendan Schaub. He flipped his truck, which, by the way. I mean,
I shouldn't laugh, but
no, we shouldn't. We shouldn't. It was terrible.
Jesus Christ, Josh.
I mean, hey, look, man. I mean, it worked out in the end. He made it out okay. He made it out healthy. He didn't have any injury, and for that reason, I think it's perfectly acceptable for me to laugh about it. It that whole video went about as well as the Gringo Poppy, you know.
Is that what he's calling himself these days?
That was his second comedy special. See, it went so well that you didn't even know that was the name of his comedy special.
You are a fucking villain right now. And it's funny because you're not even trying.
I'm literally not, man. I mean, I got 1.2 reasons to keep on going with these jokes, bro. I mean, just...
I mean, Josh, you're not even trying, just like Brendan's comedy.
Oh man, what are we doing here, you know? God, douche, man. You know? Anyways, man, shout out Schaub, man. I joke aside, I don't have any beef with him. I do think he gets I think he gets too much shit, you know what I mean?
No, and he has some good takes every now and then. To be honest, I think at one point, not even that long ago, Brendan had some, like, was doing really good in overall picks, like maybe like a year or two ago. So he was actually predicting fights pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
His interviews are actually pretty good. I'll give him that. Like his Food Truck Diaries or whatever he calls them. I've always been a fan of those. His one with Sean is good. I remember I'll never forget. Sean says something about kids these days needing a alcoholic beating. You know, he's like, people used to get their ass kicked when they're younger or something like that. He's like, oh, you know, I see where you're coming. He's like, Sean's like, no. They needed like an alcohol beating from their repression, like you know, and Brendan's like, I don't know what the experts would say about that one, Sean. They might disagree on that one.
Well, I mean, Sean Strickland's also the same. It's funny because it fits into our next topic. I mean, Sean Strickland's also the same guy who told like Ryan Garcia to like man up whenever all he's having a legitimate mental breakdown. I mean, but also Sean Strickland's also the same guy who, you know, oh, you know, men who cry are bitches and pussies, and then proceeded to bawl on Theo Von's podcast. So, yeah, maybe not the best guy to take your cues from.
People don't understand what it is to go through what he did.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
come on.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say anything more. I mean, I everybody who's listening to the pod knows my thoughts on Sean Strickland, bro. Like, honestly, I really don't have any issue with the guy, but I do think like you can't say some of the stuff that he does, and then say some of the other stuff that he does. You know what I mean? Like, you can't be like, oh, you know, you got people who are like in his response to Ryan Garcia telling him to man up and not be a pussy and cry or whatever. He's like, oh, people go through terrible stuff every day. It's like, but Sean, you make fun of those people too. Like whenever Shaylee Lip died, that MMA fighter was young, like 18 year old. Like, yo,
by the way, the fact that you remember that is insane. I got to give you credit that you just pulled that out.
Well, because it's the truth, man. I mean, I mean, how can I not remember it? You know what I mean? Like that showed his true colors. You know what I mean? That and him crying on Theo's podcast because he couldn't take the one time somebody brought the same energy back to him, you know? So, just says a lot about how you are as a man, I feel like, you know? That's my thoughts. But, that's all I gotta say about it. So we'll just segue next, straight into it, because we already talked about it. Ryan Garcia is currently set to fight Devin Haney on April 20th. And I say set to fight because let's be honest, he's not going to make it to fight day. Ryan Garcia, Angel, I know you've seen it just as much as I have. Dude, he's having an entire, I mean, what looks like a psychotic break on social media. He's been posting a bunch of weird stuff. He's posted something about how like people had killed him. And then he came out with like a video where he was like talking to the camera. He's like, no guys, I'm entirely fine. I'm healthy, which looked like a fucking hostage video. And then the next day, literally the next day, he went on Andrew Tate's stream and he was like, oh yeah, I got raped. They took me to Bohemian Grove. I mean, what do you make of this entire situation?
I just hope he can find help, man. You know, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if he's just doing this for attention. I don't know if he's actually, there's actually some stuff going on that we have no idea that's actually going, you know, you never know. So it might seem insane to us, right? But to him, like some of this stuff, it might be just actually going on and he doesn't know how to seek help for it. You know, I don't just want to call him crazy or just say that he's ill without knowing it for a fact, right? Like, yeah. I think that's not an appropriate thing to really do, but he definitely needs some form of help. I just don't know what that help should be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably the best way to put it.
Yeah. I mean, it really, it sucks, man. It's terrible. I mean, I feel genuinely bad for the guy. I don't want to speculate exactly what's going on, but it is abundantly clear that there is some sort of mental issue going on. I mean, you don't say the things that he's currently saying without there being some sort of.
I mean, I don't know, Josh. I don't know. Like I said, I don't want to just assumption.
I mean, I know. I'm just saying. I mean, he was putting stuff up about how like. You know, I mean, I can just quote it. Like, he put up a video 3 days ago. We got him, boys. Ryan Garcia, RIP, bitch, 666.
I mean, and some of those don't make any sense. You know what I mean? Like without a doubt, they don't make any sense. Like, I will agree on you with that.
Yeah. He's in. He's having a tough time, man. He's having a tough time. But anyways, man, I mean, I don't got too much to say about this. Just thoughts and, you know, we're thinking of Ryan, hoping for the best for him. He's a young kid. He's got a lot of pressure, you know. And
I'm surprised no one from his camp or anybody who's close to him has come out and made a statement. I think the only person who's actually come out is his ex-wife.
His ex-wife came out with a statement saying that, you know, Ryan, I don't care what he says, he's not fine right now, something along those lines. Sean, his brother, also came out.
Oh, so his brother did say something. Okay, good.
He came out and said that, you know, please pray for him. He's a great man. He just has a lot of pressure on him right now and stuff like that. So, but even then, he was like, yeah, I'm currently in fight camp myself. I don't know what's going on, really. So.
Oh, so he's getting prayer right himself. Jesus.
Yeah. He's, I want to say, 6-1 as a boxer, too, or something like that, so.
I mean, hopefully, like, nothing bad happens, man. You know, when people are, you know, when people are having, like, moments like this, it could, you know, it could get a lot worse than just saying stuff that sounds, you know, out of line.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be clear. So I hope someone out there is definitely, These people are kind of trolling him and making fun of him, and I don't know if that's the appropriate thing to do. Actually, it isn't. It isn't. Let's be honest, it isn't.
No, it's not. I mean, he's clearly in... like I said, I don't want to speculate on exactly what's going on, but it seems like he's going through like some sort of psychotic break or something, or like there's something going on, so I don't really want to guess exactly what's happening, but I mean, he's not in a good place. We can just leave it at that. Anyways, man, I think we should go ahead and move on. This is a story that flew under the radar. I don't even think you know about this one. So, the California kid, Uriah Faber, has not competed since a knockout loss to Petr Yan in 2019. But he will be returning in his own fight promotion in the main event of A1 Combat 20. On UFC Fight Pass. As of now, his opponent has not been announced. The Hall of Famer coming back for one last, maybe not one last fight. I mean, this isn't said that he's going to be retiring after this one, but he's coming back for a fight, man. What do you make of this announcement?
Random. But, I mean, if he's starting up his own promotion, I mean, who other than yourself, right, to make it, especially as a former fighter, to kind of make it debut, I guess, or make it a big break? I did see something on Twitter, but I wasn't quite sure if he was competing, because I was looking through grappling stuff, and I was like, oh, maybe he's doing some grappling event, you know, because a lot of fighters have done grappling competitions, so I thought he was going to do something along the lines of that, but I didn't know he was actually going to be competing in MMA again.
Mm-hmm.
At least for just this, you know, one time, or one off, I guess is probably the one better way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it is pretty random, but look, man, I love me some Uriah Faber, and whenever he left, he was still very good. Like, he was still a very good fighter.
When are you talking about when he initially left, or when he left and came back?
Both. I mean, he knocked out Ricky Simone in his first fight back, and whenever he did leave, he was one fight.
Oh, that one, by the way?
Huh?
I called that one, by the way.
I remember that, yeah.
That was a crazy call.
Yeah, man, I love that, but yeah, man. It's gonna be interesting, man. Hope to see Uriah pick up a win. Like the California kid, just an absolute legend. So we'll see what happens, man. Yeah, that's all I got. Anything else to talk about before we go ahead and close out, man?
No, nothing specifically, man. I mean, I mean, you gotta make our announcement, Josh. I know you put it on Twitter, or do you want to save that for some other time and just drop it on people?
No, man. We're gonna do it now. So Angel taking the big step of find the equipment we need to have the in-person podcast, so we will have not only filming the podcast, like, because that was something that I announced quite a while ago, we're going to be filming the in-person podcast as soon as potentially next week, at the very least, ready in time for UFC 300 next month. So
yeah, no matter what, we'll 100% be ready for UFC 300. On top of that, it's not going to be a regular thing at this time. Just so everybody knows. On top of that, eventually it will turn into video and audio. We'll have both. So big things are coming. I'm excited. This is a really big step for us. A lot of pressure on both of us to try to execute this as best as possible. It could have happened today, but I thought it was just, we both agreed it was just going to be too quick, too last second, and it just wasn't the right time. And then as far as like what show specifically we'll be doing live, I mean, we'll discuss that later on and we'll kind of figure out what that'll be. And then I think we'll probably talk about more about that next week, on the live show, which is going to be, or not the live show, but the in-person show. And then, and that's another one, potentially live at some point in time. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Yep. And, hope you guys are looking forward to it, man. I know that we've, worked very hard on moving forward, and I know that in, you know, getting the in-person stuff set up, and obviously we have the, you know, 1,400 subscribers now on YouTube. We're at 1,399, so if anyone wants to go ahead and help us out.
Is that official? We officially hit 1,400?
We've not hit 1,400. We're currently at 1,399 literally as of now. So we just need one more.
Someone out there can do it. You know you can. You know you want to.
Yeah. By the time it hits, I'd be willing to bet that
by next week we'll probably be there.
100%. But anyways, hope you guys enjoyed, and hope you guys look forward to seeing us on camera and having the pod take it to the next level. starting within the next few weeks. As far as the rest of the show goes, I'm at Josh Shonoff on Twitter. He's at @AngelOrtega_01 at Courtside Sound for all things relating to the show. Peace and butt grease. Mouse click.